This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Beverly City Councilor-at-Large Hannah Bowen here on MSO News Sports. And Hannah, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Great to have you with us.
Thanks so much.
Well, Hannah, let's get right to it. A number of different issues. You are running for re-election, Councilor-at-Large, in your first term here with the elections coming up in the fall. But we'd love to have you just get right into the issues here and discuss what's important or how things are going. And we can talk some politics a little bit later on, but housing and development, they do seem to be the big issues. There's a lot more housing in Beverly than there was 15 years ago, but maybe there's not enough in some areas as well, and development as well. So when it comes to housing, what's your take on how Beverly is handling housing, and what do they need to do?
Yeah, so it's definitely on everyone's minds these days. And I think Beverly has a lot to be proud of in how we've already kind of navigated getting a little bit ahead of the curve on building the types of housing that people need. And so the development down on Rantoul Street and really zoning for some growth was really forward-looking and has enabled, I think, the renewal of that neighborhood and really sustaining our downtown through some really difficult times. You know, I think we've felt the pain of the last few years, but because we had some added housing capacity, had some space for small business, we've been able to get through the pandemic in the way that we have, in a way that many communities couldn't quite sustain. And so we're at this point now where that's all great. That's a lot to be proud of. The city has invested a lot in affordable housing, deeply affordable housing. You know, so that's all to the good. And the housing crisis that we're in more broadly in the region is not going away. And our efforts, you know, have not been fully matched by all of our neighbors yet. So the fact that that's now happening is going to benefit us as a city. And the fact that we're a little bit ahead of that curve positions us well. But there's still more even for us to do in Beverly. So I know, you know, for me personally, it's been an issue. I was worried this spring about whether I was going to be able to stay in Beverly, and thankfully was able to find a new rental apartment that will fit within my price range without overburdening my finances. But it's hard. There is nothing out there. There's nothing to buy. There's nothing to rent. For those of us that are already living in Beverly, let alone the growth that the whole region's experiencing. So I think there is still more for us to do, and doing that really thoughtfully. So, you know, there's actually a meeting tonight to launch a conversation about design standards in the city that would allow us to update our zoning to continue increasing density in some places, but also be really mindful of the look and feel of the architecture, the design for really human interaction, that we're not just like in high rises and cars, but we're actually around each other and building community. And, you know, I think really expanding the variety of housing and variety of development that we see. I've been pushing really hard for an accessory dwelling unit ordinance that would allow for a little bit more density in currently single family or two family zoning, where you could add an apartment over your garage or in your basement or in your attic, get some rental income, give somebody a relatively low-cost rental, sort of a win-win for everybody, and doesn't have that much of an impact on things like parking and traffic and the things that people see as some of the negatives of density.
Yeah, I know a number of towns, you know, and cities are doing just that, Hannah. So where is Beverly, as far as that is concerned? How close are you to getting something like that approved?
Yeah, so the draft ordinance is in front of the council for discussion. The mayor's team is working on sort of their version that they'd like to see. We're anticipating a meeting in early May to start talking through where there's overlap between those ideas and what we can move forward. But I mean, I think it's very realistic to think we could get through that process by, you know, this summer, this fall.
You know, I know some people, when they think of development in Beverly, they're saying, is there too much development? Where is the next development going to be coming? If somebody poses a question kind of in that framework, how do you answer something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the development has been really positive overall. It's part of what drew me when I was moving back to the North Shore after living in New York and D.C. and overseas. When I was moving back to the North Shore, I was looking, you know, along the train line. I wasn't honestly looking to move back to Swampscott where I grew up because it felt a little too small, a little too stagnant for what I was looking for. I wanted to be able to walk to restaurants, walk to see a show, you know, and still be near the ocean, still be near the train. And Beverly has balanced those things, I think, really beautifully. But I think that next wave is, like, how do we make sure that we're accommodating households of all sizes? How do we make sure that the rest of the city has spaces for people to live, whether that's building up neighborhood centers around some of the other train stations, whether that's, you know, things like accessory dwelling units. I think there is scope for all of that. And I think, you know, being really mindful of, yes, with more people, of course, you then have, you know, you might have more traffic if people bring cars. But we can also manage that in creative ways. So, you know, for me, when I moved to Beverly, I didn't have a car for 9 or 10 months. Because I lived downtown and, you know, was commuting into the city a bit or working from home, could borrow a car when I needed one. But the public transportation beyond the commuter rail is still pretty limited. So if you look at some place like Salem, that's really, I think, in part because of the tourism draw, invested in some more last-mile transportation, shuttle services, more bikeability, bike shares, things like that. It's easier to get around to that a car. So you don't feel the pressure of that density as much because people, you know, can get around in other ways than just one person in one car all the time.
Yeah. Well, you are right. I mean, Beverly is much more of a walkable city for a resident. You know, if you're down on that Rantoul Street area or Cabot Street, and you can walk to a lot of things now that you probably weren't really available 20, 25 years ago, for sure, down in Beverly. But so you're right. That is probably a positive. And you're right. A lot of different communities, you know, have built around the rail station, which does make a lot of sense to kind of shape the city in a slightly different way than it was before, just totally car driven, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So now what about post-COVID here? I know the city council in Beverly is meeting in person, but what's your take on trying to build community and get people engaged?
Yeah, so I think it's I'm glad we're meeting in person, and I feel like the ability to work in a hybrid way has opened up a lot of opportunities for people. So, you know, I think we see a lot more people walking around downtown who used to commute into Boston every day, but now might commute here and there and might stay in Beverly and shop in local businesses in the middle of the day when they can step out for lunch. So I think, you know, learning the right lessons from COVID is really important, and how we as local government, but also just as residents and neighbors, really sort of keep investing in quality face-to-face time, whether that's the great public events that we have. Just the other night at a city council meeting, we approved the sort of use of public space for Beverly Main Street's Arts Fest, and their you know, they've got I think a series of 3 or 4 big events through the summer where we'll close down Cabot Street. They can have vendors. That sort of thing, I think, is so important for bringing people together and using our public space as well, making them friendly, making them easy to use. And then also thinking about what are the things that don't have to be just in person. So the fact that public engagement in public meetings went up during the pandemic, when people could, you know, log in into Zoom while cooking dinner and doing a few other things, not have to find childcare, not have to get to a meeting room. I think that was a really positive thing. So I don't want us to lose that either. And actually, you know, in City Hall, when the renovation happens, I'm hoping that we have a city council chamber that can actually accommodate a hybrid meeting a little more effectively than we can now, because I think that that can and should stay around as well.
No, you're right. I mean, it does make sense to for some of these hybrid meetings because of it. You know, you don't have to travel. You don't have to burn gas or whatever. You don't have to take the time that it would take to go from here to there, whatever. But you do lose stuff. So do you think we've lost a lot because of the so-called isolation in the last few years?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's something I think about all the time, because in my day job as well, I work at a community mediation center where we're all about helping people work through conflict, communicate with each other effectively. And so we see it all the time. We do a lot of work with schools and, you know, just seeing the impact on young people who missed out on some really critical face-to-face time. It's brutal, and that's real. And I think, you know, we really have to be mindful of how we speak to each other, what tone we set in public meetings, how we model collaboration, how we invite people in, listen to each other. Those are all things that I think we've all felt really damaged, and now we're trying to repair. And so, you know, everyone's been on a short fuse for a couple of years now, and I think how, you know, as city leaders, but again, just also sort of in as we go about our daily lives as neighbors, like taking that deep breath, listening to where someone is coming from, creating that space for people to share their ideas without it always turning hostile. I think that's all really important too, and is a space that, you know, especially the city council, but all the city committees and boards are really valuable for. It's a way for us to practice some of that being back in person.
You know, you bring up a good point, because you know, we've been so zoomed out, I think, in a way. But I mean, when you're trying to talk to somebody, you're concerned: do I have a good connection, or am I on mute? I mean, that's the kind of communication that we've had the last few years, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So we're not muting you, Hannah. But tell me about community engagement. As far as and I want to get into politics for a final question or two, but. What about community engagement and politics? And I know you are running for re-election this fall.
Yeah, and I think that sort of transparency and access to decision-making at a local level is so important, and is what gets me excited about this work. So when I moved to Beverly, I had been working in global advocacy, had been living in D.C., and felt a little disconnected myself from local politics and local decision-making. I felt a little transient in D.C. And I was working with advocates all over the world who were, like, really tapped into their local government, their local decision-making, and really making a difference. And I felt like while I was supporting them, I wasn't actually doing that myself. So when I moved to Beverly, I tried to get involved right away. And I actually remember showing up to a city council meeting within my first couple months back, because I just wanted to kind of see how things worked. And I couldn't find the agenda online. And I have since learned the ins and outs of the Beverly City website, how to locate those sorts of things. But, you know, for someone who's interested, wants to be involved, that should be easy to find, right? It should be clear how to get involved. What are the topics up for discussion? How do you put a topic on the agenda? How do you get something going? And that hasn't always been super easy. I think over the last couple of years, we're seeing, in part because of everybody pivoting to the online world, some new ways of getting information out. But I think we have a lot more we can do to make it easy for people and to let people know that, like, we are, you know, local government is just made up of neighbors trying to make decisions together. And the more people who are involved, the better those decisions will be. And I think sometimes people feel like, you know, they complain and they complain and they complain and nothing changes. And that is when people disengage. So for me, like, the work that the council has done with the mayor and engineering department, public services over this last, you know, year and a half, to really prioritize getting funding into the roads and sidewalks fund, and then start to be a little more transparent about where that money goes, what types of large projects, and what types of, you know, sidewalks and roads that we see every day actually getting some work done. I think that's the sort of thing that people need to really see and understand and feel, because if all you feel is the pain points and you don't see the process of how decisions are getting made and how progress is getting made, it is disheartening. And so I think the more we can communicate clearly, listen to people, show up where those complaints are happening, but also where people have ideas for solutions and then actually follow through on them, that's sort of the turning point where then people are willing to show up too.
Yeah, let me follow up on engagement. So now you're on the kind of the shoes on the other foot. Now you're in leadership in the city of Beverly. So what do you think the level of leadership, of engagement is? Because people can watch the council meetings on cable. They can show up in person, different ways. That's the way people used to do it. They can, follow the media or a press or whatever. So if you were to judge the level of engagement, what would you say it might be?
I'd say it's higher than a lot of people think. The number of people who volunteer for boards and committees and do that, like, really dedicated work, showing up every month to help figure out our strategies on climate change or solid waste management or open space, is incredibly high. So, you know, I think that's a good signal. And, you know, the level of volunteerism in Beverly in general, not necessarily through government, is high. I feel like everywhere I go, you know, there are local nonprofits, our schools have people out supporting them in so many different ways. So I think that is civic engagement, right? It's not all just whether it's political or not. So I think we're doing well in that way. I do think there are times when it feels like the same people are showing up in all those different places, and that there are maybe newer residents in the city or folks who, you know, because of their schedules or because of sort of what they're tapped into or not, are not in those same volunteer spaces or those decision-making spaces. So I think we do still have a lot of work to do on that side, on broadening. But I think in terms of the level of kind of energy and commitment and civic mindedness, we're in good shape.
All right. So now politically, we had a mayor's race in Beverly a day or so ago, but now we don't. And I understand you're in Ward 2 now, and there is the only open ward seat, I guess, in Beverly. It will be in Ward 2. So what's your take on what's happening in Beverly politics right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really healthy when we have choices. So, you know, I was excited to see a week ago that there were going to be choices, and I hope that people sort of look at the energy that was starting to bubble up around just having a vigorous debate and think about jumping in. And I would say even, you know, the at-large race, there are three seats. All three of us who are currently in those seats have pulled papers to run again. But I would love to see more choices as well. I mean, it'll make my campaigning work harder, and I think that's good, right? Like, I should have to show up and explain how I've been thinking about things in this term, explain what I want to do going forward, and I think all of us in elected office should have to do that. And I think actually having a contested election strengthens the person who emerges from that, even if they are the incumbent, and it doesn't change leadership. Having gone through that process, I think really, you know, gives the person in the seat both the sense of accountability for what they've been doing, but also that sense of, like, confidence in what they want to do. So I hope it is, in fact, a competitive season, and that people, you know, follow it and make their voices heard and show up.
All right. So, Hannah, I have one last question for you. So, you know, I feel I've heard your story. You've been around different places now in Beverly, but I guess really, I mean, to me, it's a pretty big task to have run for councilor at large and have won the first time. So tell us, by telling me that decision to run for council and how you did it the first time, basically. It seems like a great accomplishment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I honestly, I feel very lucky to have been in that position. Because, as I said, sort of when I moved back to Beverly, that was already on my mind, like, how can I contribute how can I get involved? And so through that, did start getting involved, joining committees, that sort of thing, and learning how the different, you know, elected offices in our city work, who does what, where do certain decisions get made. And, you know, it really was just sort of being out there looking at where can I be most useful, that the spring of 2021, when I heard that, you know, there was going to be one and then a second vacancy in the at-large seats on the council. And to be honest, I sort of thought, oh, there must be a lot of people in line for those seats, right? Like people who've been working in these sort of public service roles, who didn't necessarily want to challenge an incumbent, but who would love to do this work. And I think, you know, there certainly were. And also there was space, I think, especially coming out of the pandemic. There are people who've been involved who also needed a break. And so it was a time when I felt like, okay, I have some reserves left in my energy and motivation coming out of the pandemic, and this is a place where I can be useful. So I dove right in, and, you know, I've been around government and policy and more recently politics for a while, so I sort of, you know, had some ideas about how to get out there, and it really, I think, especially for city politics, but I think probably at any level, it's just showing up and knocking on a lot of doors, having a lot of meet and greets, showing up where people are already gathered, and just listening. And I'm incredibly grateful that that worked, that people liked what they saw and were willing to work with me. And it's been really just such a real gift and a real honor to be in one of those seats in city council chambers, to be part of those conversations and to, you know, really hopefully be a conduit for great ideas from across the city to make it into our policies, our ordinances, our budget, all of those things. So I'm excited about the opportunity to keep serving and really looking forward to the campaign time too. Getting out there and talking to even more people than a typical weekend.
There you go. Well, Hannah, we appreciate you taking some time to join us. Best of luck on the campaign, and hopefully we can stay in touch down the road. So,
absolutely.
All right, there she is, Hannah Bowen, City Councilor at Large, City of Beverly, here with us on MSO, newsports.com.